Okay. God bless you all in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. It's always a privilege to speak God's word and just to hear his word, because it is power and we want that Holy Spirit high. This is our life. Our life was changed from the day we got born again. We became spiritual men and women, and that's what the advantage we have over those who are searching for the truth or who do not even know that there is a truth. But tonight I want to actually call my teaching, or title my teaching, Hearing from Heaven, Praying in the Spirit. And in the manifestations, God mentioned a few times about how we will hear his voice, and he will instruct us. You know, it's his plan that we speak his word and that we live his word, and he helps us do that. He gave us Holy Spirit. He gave us the Spirit of Christ in us that we could do the works that Jesus Christ did. And we're looking at this witnessing aspect of what Jesus was the greatest witness. In fact, if you think about all that he accomplished, it says that if all the volumes of the books could be brought together, and he would, all of the things that he did would fill all the volumes that are in the world today. That, and he had a one-year ministry. His ministry was very short, but he lived the power of the Holy Spirit. God worked in him. Yesterday, Al did a wonderful teaching called Witnessing for Him Today. And his summary with his teaching is posted on our website at www.actsnowfellowship.com, or .net, I'm sorry. He says in his summary, witnessing God's word is to give information about someone or something, whether in the form of a testimony or simply to speak of his love for mankind. Almighty God has given you and I the honor, privilege, and responsibility to save lives, save souls, with his absolute promises in reaching out to this broken world. And he ends with, let's start today. Well, today, I would like to start with Jesus' witnessing ministry in John chapter 4 again. Continue with what Al was sharing about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. We're going to look at verse 13. And, of course, we learn that a Samaritan woman wasn't really, she was not from Israel, so technically Jesus did not need to speak to her. But he spoke to her. Why? Because God told him to, right? And that's what we do. We listen to what God, the Holy Spirit's prompting. We'll hear from heaven. John chapter 4, verse 13, it says, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, for the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call. So she's saying, okay, sir, I would like to have this water. And then if we don't thirst again, I won't have to go and bring my water pot and come back every day and fill it. You know, I could save a lot of time and energy if I have this. Well, did she get the point of what he was saying? Probably not. She didn't. So he had to elaborate on this. And if we look at verse 16, Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. Okay, well, that's an interesting thing. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Here's something that he knew about her that physically, on the five senses, he shouldn't have known. But spiritually, he knew. And he had to show her spiritually what he was all about. So the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And people will see that in our lives when we speak to them, when we pray for them. God will tell us what to say. Sometimes at Agape Now, we'll say, well, I pray for the kidneys and things like that. And they'll say, how did you know that? And we'll say, well, God told me. And that's the life that we've been called to. We're called to hear from God through the Spirit and walk out on it so that we can receive that Holy Spirit, that power. Let's go to, and you know, Jesus didn't matter who he was talking to. He talked to those that God led him to talk to. And his, so let's go to verse 23. Oh, actually, let's go to 21. It says, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. Verse 23 says, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God wants us to worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And I think a lot of churches feel like worship is the music. That's not what worship's all about. That's getting you excited. That's praising. But worship is operating in the Spirit of God, praying in the Spirit. I actually Googled what is praying in the Spirit, because I was curious to see what other people think. And it basically said it is not speaking in tongues. But praying in the Spirit is speaking in tongues. This author said it's not speaking in tongues because speaking in tongues is a gift. Not everybody has gets their gift. Well, that's not true. Everybody has the ability to receive, to manifest all nine manifestations, so we can hear words of wisdom. We can have discerning of spirits, all that. Operate healing. We operate the ministry of Jesus Christ did. But we have to hear. We have to be instructed. And that's how we worship in spirit and truth. We speak in tongues. We pray in the Spirit. And then verse 26, it says that his disciples came back because they had gone to get some food. They had had a very busy day, and Jesus is waiting at the well for the disciples to come back with food. And verse 23, it says, verse 31 says, in the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Wait, he's asking. So Jesus said, okay, he's got to collaborate with that. Figure this out. You know, maybe someone brought him a taco or something. But in verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And there are many, many people that need to hear from heaven. They need to know that God loves them. They need to hear the truth. They need to know how to worship in spirit and in truth. And that's what we're here for. That's our meat, is to do the will of him who sent me. You know, we've been blessed. God wants to bless us with all that we need, exceeding abundantly, so that we can give, so that we can be blessed to give to others. But the most important thing is knowing what our purpose is, right? Everybody wants to know that. Let's look at Acts chapter 4, looking at this Holy Spirit that was received on the day of Pentecost. And we're going to look at the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So he's giving them instruction that they shall receive, that they should stay in Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 8 it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And isn't it interesting that even Samaria is mentioned there? And yet, the Samaria, you know, that was an important part of his ministry there. The words that he spoke there was very important. So every word that God has in his word is intended for importance. So he told them to wait, and then they would receive power. And that receiving the power was in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, and as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, as one sat upon each of them. This is the New King James. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was the evidence of that receiving that power that Jesus had talked about, was that speaking in tongues. And then there's always someone that says, well, but they've been drinking, so you know, maybe that's the evidence. And that's what happens today. There's always someone that's got some remark to change the power of God. But they received power so that they could minister, they could deliver people. And that's what we have received today. You know, God's not interested in our abilities, but he's interested in our availability to do his will. So when we listen to him, we listen to the Holy Spirit, he'll tell us, you know, why don't you call someone? And you call them, and, you know, it blows their mind that you called and had the exact right words to say, well, we've received that power to do that. And I was going to share some in Romans, but we're running out of time. But if you look at Romans chapter 8, it talks about the difference between living in the flesh and living in the spirit. Mm-hmm. And to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's the life that we've been called to. And as we walk in the spirit, as we build ourselves up, in the spirit, speaking in tongues much, we will be ready to receive those words from the Father. You know, the evidence of them speaking in tongues, they heard each man speak in their own language, all these different languages, the wonderful works of God. That was the evidence, that was the result of the tongues, with the wonderful works of God. Don't you want to speak the wonderful works of God? Yes. We want to edify God. And speaking in tongues gives us intercession, mm-hmm. makes it available so we can pray the things that we don't know what to pray for. I want to pray for Ted. I don't know every little thing. But as I speak in tongues, then I can make that perfect intercession. And we know that when we pray, God always answers. So I encourage you to spend more time with the Father, praying in the Spirit. And if you don't know how to do it, then we'll help you, because it's very important that we manifest that power in our lives. So we've got much time before the Lord comes back. Each day is much time to live for him. So God bless you. Yeah. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. I thank you how important our lives are, and that our need is to do your will. So thank you for finding us available, and that you put people in our path that we can minister and love and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So thank you for a wonderful night's sleep for everyone here. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen.